welcome to show 26 of the Zip & Co podcast from Weymouth, Dorset, UK. You can contact the show various means very easily if you go to my website at www.zippmedia.com. You can see all my links there. I have a telephone number there, 01305-898-547. Just call that number and leave a message. My email is zipshow@gmail.com. I've got Facebook, MySpace, and a lot of other stuff. Twitter, you can have a look all over there, all over the website, to see how to contact me. So, as I say, this is show 26. Let's get on with the show, shall we?
What are you doing, shouting out of the window like that?
I'm telling people about Belugi.com, aren't I?
Well, what does this Belugi.com do then?
I thought you'd never ask. They're a Weymouth-based web design studio passionate about creating great-looking websites that work hard for your business. They've got great services that include web design and development, search engine optimization, social media and blog design, hosting domains, website maintenance and backup. Wow! It's Belugi.com!
I suppose people should go to www.belugi.com to find out more.
What a good idea. I'll go there now. Bye-bye.
I used to see this friend of mine struggle to the bar, but now he runs around, no distance is too far, and he likes to take the girl for a spin around the floor, but Amy doesn't dance here anymore. Amy doesn't dance, Amy doesn't dance, Amy doesn't dance here anymore. You've missed your chance to see the lady dance, but Amy doesn't dance here anymore. With his banjo from the case and the music on its stand, the room will fall to silence to listen to the man sing about the time when he was 64, but Amy doesn't dance here anymore. Well, Amy doesn't dance, Amy doesn't dance, Amy doesn't dance here anymore. You have missed your chance to see the lady dance, but Amy doesn't dance here anymore. Well, then there is this man, and he asked me not to sing. He likes to smoke a pipe, and the lady that he brings, her buttons for to make 1, 2, 3, or 4, but Amy doesn't dance here anymore. No, Amy doesn't dance, Amy doesn't dance, Amy doesn't dance here anymore. You have missed your chance to see the lady dance, but Amy, she doesn't dance here anymore. Now the landlord is a man with his beer he'll try to please. The landlady's the girl who gives you bread and chips and cheese. He likes to play the drums, he loves to play for sure, but Amy doesn't dance here anymore. No, Amy doesn't dance, Amy doesn't dance, Amy doesn't dance here anymore. You have missed your chance to see the lady dance, but Amy doesn't dance here anymore. Oh, you've missed your chance to see the lady dance, and Amy doesn't dance here anymore.
That was The Lady Doesn't Dance Here Anymore by Bob Kirkpatrick, who runs a great local folk club down at the Sunray Pub down in Weymouth here. So if you ever get the chance, come down. And I think you'll probably find information about it in the local Echo in the gig guide there. So just take a look at that. The advert you heard beforehand for Belugi.com. Sarah at Belugi.com really did a great job on my website. So I said I'd create a promo audio for her. And that was it. You may be surprised to learn that there's a lot going on here in Weymouth arts, music. One of the projects that is being worked on is by Claire Wiles and Duncan Smith, who are creating a video about the lost Templars of Dorset. Recently I went down to Weymouth Harbour and interviewed them on the harbour side. That's why it's a little windy on the interview. But here's the interview. I hope you enjoy.
Hi, I'm Claire Wiles and this is my friend here, Duncan Smith.
Hi.
And we're working on a project based locally where we live in Weymouth in Dorset. We're particularly looking at the Knights Templar. We feel that the Knights Templar have got a big role to play in Dorset and not very much has been written about it. So we decided on a documentary project to produce a film to show people what the Knights Templar did here in Dorset, what their purpose was, how much of Dorset they covered, and also any kind of myths and legends as well that went on with them.
Yeah, we feel that there's a lot of interest, particularly in the more sort of esoteric side of the Knights Templar. There's not a lot actual documented about that side. A lot of it comes through various books that were written. Obviously, the Da Vinci Code would be something that people probably the first time they've heard of the Knights Templar will be for that. But there's a lot of people that have heard of the Crusades, for instance, and Knights Templar perhaps got a bad rap because of some of that to a certain extent. But we want to actually look at some of the truth about actually what they did in England, in the sense that we found initially that there were things like landowners, weavers and people that looked after the communities to a certain extent, but they were also ready to fight at the same time. So we're interested in how they were set up in Dorset.
We know that the Templars came across from La Rochelle in France, and obviously their headquarters was at Templecombe in Somerset, so they must have passed through Dorset in order to get to Templecombe. Many people will have heard of the Templecombe Head, which is a very famous painting onto wood that was discovered, I think, in the 1940s, just in a coal shed. And it's a wonderful story because this painting was discovered and it was beautiful blues and golds and things, and the local vicar decided to clean it up with vim and took all the paint off. But it has a look to it very much of the Turin Shroud. It's quite an eerie painting, and it's linked to possibly be the head of John the Baptist, or some people say it's the head of Christ, but it's an interesting painting in itself. And of course Templecombe being just over the border from Dorset, so our research will be looking at perhaps the route that the Templars took through the Dorset countryside. We know of certain sites, we know of the Cistercian monasteries, links with the Knights Hospitallers, so we've got plenty to go on.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to, like I said before, look into the sort of myths and legends, because that does get people's interest, and we are interested in that side of it too. We'll look into if there's any truth in any of this, or just the legends. Obviously, the Knights Templar were disbanded quite brutally by both the King of Spain at the time and the Pope, and we really want to look at, is there any truth to the confessions? They were tortured and they confessed all sorts of blasphemies, but some of them said things about the order that wasn't under torture. And we also found an interesting character to do with all that was called Stephen de Stallbriggs, or Stallbrigger, or Stallbrug, though he goes over several different names. And we actually have found that he did live in Dorset, at least for part of his life, and that he may well have been one of the last Templars in England, and was possibly worked or even was buried somewhere around Christchurch Priory. Now, we're very at our early stages of research, so we hope to maybe talk to people and interview people that have more knowledge about this as well.
Right. When do you think this project will be completed? Any ideas?
It's difficult to say, because like with any film project, there's things to do with, we want to try and get a little bit of funding together, just so we have some money to cover expenses to go and visit different places that are perhaps outside the county. I mean, most of it's going to be self-funded, I think. Obviously, research takes a while. We've got to get access to certain places, permission to talk to people, permission to go in places. I would have thought we probably wouldn't be actually filming until early next year, I would have thought.
Right.
And then probably released perhaps late next summer, possibly. A reasonable aim, I think.
Yeah, and it will be DVD or
it would be probably pay-per-view online, because we find people find that easier. But I think the DVDs will be available for people that can't get to grips with the internet access, perhaps, or would prefer to have something to actually hold in their hands. You know, we would always do that, but certainly it would be available for, you know, a small fee, I would say, to help cover our expenses.
And have you got a website or a Facebook page people can contact you on?
We have. There's a Facebook page which is called The Lost Templars, and the website is www.thelosttemplars.com. Worth having a look on both of those, because we will be posting research, photographs, other interesting facts, so that people can keep an eye on what's going on with the project and get involved if they want to. You know, if they've got things that they know they want to share with us, then we would love to hear from
that's
them.
Right, we do put related things on there, so not directly related to the film, but just things around the medieval time and Dorset that we're finding out that we find people might find interesting.
Yeah.
And also we hope that maybe people will see this who can maybe help us with the research a little bit and tell us more things that we don't know and directions that we could look down.
Okay, well that's fine for the moment, and thanks for the interview. And
thank
I hope
you.
Look forward to the project when it comes out.
Thank you, Peter.
If you go to my YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/zipster, ZIPPSTER, you will see a video promo interview I did with Claire and Duncan. And you can also subscribe to my YouTube channel just by clicking on the icon in the video itself, or on the subscribe button, and you'll get new content as soon as it comes out from Zip TV. A little time ago, I went down to the newly renovated Weymouth Old Town Hall and did an interview with Debbie, one of the custodians. She gave me a really interesting history of the place. So if ever you ever want to come down to Weymouth, have a look at the Old Town Hall. Here's the interview. I hope you enjoy. Okay, I'm at the Old Town Hall in Weymouth here, and I'm talking to Debbie about the guardians of the Old Town Hall, how it all started. So could you explain to my listeners how it all started?
Right, Guardians of the Old Town Hall was a community interest company that was set up in 2009 in order to take on the lease from Weymouth and Portland Borough Council.
Mm-hmm.
We have a 30-year lease on the building, and part of the conditions of the lease was to renovate the building because it was in a bit of a sorry state. A lot of that work has been done, but there's still more to do. Our next project is to get the heating installed, hopefully within the next few months.
Right.
Because it's a bit chilly down here in the winter when you've just got an open fire. We've recently distempered all the ceiling upstairs, and the beams have been repainted. We intend doing the floor as well to seal it so that it's it doesn't get so messy or dusty.
So what was the building originally?
It's always been a town hall, and it presumably dates from around Tudor times.
Right.
Because when the union of the two towns took place in 1571, immediately following that, there was a call by the council to renovate the building. It needed a lot of repairs, so it must have been here for many years before that. And the first bailiff on the Weymouth side of the town hall was a man called Hugh Randall, who was also a pirate privateer and a smuggler, and he was always getting in trouble because the Weymouth side did not like the union. They didn't want it, and they were always petitioning Queen Elizabeth, you know, to sort of like do something about it and everything. They wouldn't have a mayor because the mayor came from Melcombe, and they threatened to imprison him, and one of them over this side even threatened to stab him.
Right, I believe the two halves of Weymouth were always arguing and throwing things at each other. And
yes, which is why Queen Elizabeth produced the Charter of Union in 1571. But it didn't end there. The only time it did end, I found this out through my research, is because there was another guy who was as bad as Hugh Randall. His name was John Brooke. and Hugh Randall died in 1591. But by 1592, John Brooke's daughters had married the very wealthy Melcombe merchants. Right. And so, of course, he was more than happy for the union then, even though he hadn't been before. And it was he who applied for the coat of arms for the borough, which is on the outside of the building, if you look up the top. And thereafter that, things seems to have settled down quite a bit. And, here we are sitting in the hall today.
Right.
Much altered, though, mm-hmm. in 1896. We know that the floor at that time had been very rotten, and it was also raised at that point. Because before, you would have walked straight in. And of course, when it rained, you'd have got the water in here, so they put the steps in, they've hired the floor here. Right. You can see evidence of that downstairs.
I believe downstairs was a stable.
Yes, prior to it being a stable, it was a prison. It was a town lock-up on this side of the harbour.
Right. I recently did a video interview with Dorothy around at the Tudor House. And she said that the Tudor House, when it was first built, was on the very edge, really, of the inlet.
Yes, it would be.
So... I know all this building outside. How close would have this building been to the sea, to the harbour?
Well, we believe that the water would have come up to the back of the Boot Inn, which is literally just across the road there.
Right.
And there's the little road going down the side and the little passageway. Mm-hmm. I think it's called Boot Passage. We think that may have been a slipway at one time.
Right.
And here, as part of our exhibition, we've actually got some pictures of North Quay before the harbour wall was built in to sort of stop it doing that.
So, what are you actually thinking of doing to the building, this building, when it's
right? The plans are that the upstairs will be a heritage centre with a focus on the Civil War and the battles that took place around these parts. Particularly the battle in 1645, and it will also have some local history to set that in its context, but also as added interest. And downstairs is for things like art displays and music, plays. We've had a few theatre companies in already. We've got one coming in October. And that would be generally like a community-type space.
Hmm, good. Well, as I say, I love the ceilings in here as well.
Mm. Victorian.
Lovely ceilings. Okay, so have you got a website
people
can go to, or a Facebook page?
Yes,
or something like that?
The website is www.weymoutholdtownhall.co.uk.
Right. So people can go there and see as much detail.
Yes, we always advertise our events on the website and also our Facebook page, and that's under Weymouth Old Town Hall.
Okay, well, that was a great interview. Thanks a lot for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I think that's it for the moment for show 26. If you want to get in touch, as I say, you can always go to the website or call the telephone number 01305 89 8547, I think that's it. If you want to go to the website, it should be on there. You can contact me on Facebook, on MySpace, on Twitter. Also, I am a photographer, so if you go to the website, you scroll down the page there and click on the photo gallery you'll see on the left-hand side of the page. If you want to buy any of my pictures, the information is right there on how to do it. You can donate on the website, you can donate by Patreon, and I'm just working on a Patreon theme for that. There are lots of numbers of ways. I also do a couple of blogs, which you'll find on the website, I think, and other things that I'm working on. So it's all going to be on zipmedia.com. That's www.zipmedia.com. zipmedia.com. Zip Media, or one word. Whew, that's show 26 out of the way. All right, I'll talk to you soon, and bye for now. The Zip & Co. podcast show is a audio production of Zip Media at www.zipmedia.com from Weymouth, UK.